Thank you, brother. Appreciate that good singing. Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that good? All right, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We're going to begin verse number 1 this morning, please. And I want to read down through verse number 6. And again, not an easy book. The first chapter is dealing with the heathen. Basically, those that deny, reject the Lord Jesus. And basically, you know, I hear people all the time say, well, if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize. And I mentioned this to Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's not accurate. God can do whatever he wants to do. He's only bound by his word. He doesn't have to apologize to anybody for anything. But Romans 1 really shows you that part of God's judgment is turning people over to do those things that are unseemly. You know, it's not necessarily fire and it's not necessarily flood. That may be it. But we realize that God pretty much withdraws his spirit and says, you know what? Go ahead and do it. Because the end of sin is always destruction. The wages of sin is death, right? And so Romans chapter 2 begins this way. He said, therefore. So it's really a continuation of chapter 1. He said, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. So you judge other people. He said, basically, you're condemning yourself because God's going to judge you with how you judge other people. Thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing, notice this, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds? Now, buddy, that's Bible.
Yes, sir.
Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Now, we're not saved by deeds, are we? We're not saved by works. We realize that. We're saved by faith. We're saved by the grace of God. But the Bible also says that every man will give an account. Right? Every man will be judged. And so we look at this, and this portion of Scripture describes God's indictment on all hypocrites, regardless of race or religion. Now, if I mention the word hypocrite to you, automatically in your mind you draw some picture, and most of the time we'll say, well, it's people that go to church that act like a Christian, but then when they get away from church, they don't act like a Christian. Or, you know, other people say, well, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites, and I'd rather just be who I am. If I'm going to be a sinner and if I'm going to be a reprobate, I'd rather just be true to myself and be that very thing. But here's the thing, if you name the name of Christ and you don't act like Christ and you have no desire to act like Christ, then you're a hypocrite. And so really what the Bible is describing here are the hypocrite is the person that would judge someone else for doing the same thing they're doing. That, Brother Jerry, that's what this whole scripture is about. He's saying, listen, you're judging people that are doing the very same thing that you're doing and it's calling it wrong. And you remember in the gospel when those men brought that woman to Jesus and said, listen, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery, and we want to know what you've got to say about it. And he looked and he said, listen, he who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, Brother Harley, we look at that and we'll say, well, basically what he's saying is anybody that has not sinned, who's perfect, has the right to cast the first stone. So nobody does. But what he was saying was, you that are not guilty of the same thing that you're accusing her of, you be the first one to stone her, because that was their tradition. That was their custom. So what he's saying is all you guys are bringing her saying she's committing adultery when you're doing the same thing. Now, buddy, that's hypocrisy, isn't it? And so the idea is each would look at the other as lower than themselves. The Jew looked at the Gentile as lower than themselves, and the Gentiles going, we're not like the Jews, we're better than they are. And if we're not careful, we do the same thing. Listen, we as independent, fundamental, King James Bible believing Baptists, a lot of times we'll look down our nose at anybody that doesn't line up with everything we do, or if they don't have the same standards that we do. But God's saying, listen, you better be careful when you start judging other people against your own righteousness, because most likely you're guilty of the same thing you're accusing them of, and God's going to judge you. God's not a respecter of persons. Just as the ground is level at the foot of the cross, may I say, judgment is exercised against all who will reject Christ. Doesn't matter the color of your skin or where you grew up or what religion you are. Those that reject Christ will all face the same fate. Those that accept Christ as Savior, regardless of where they came from, will all have the same fate, right? So we understand that Paul just finished the indictment of God against the gross and flagrant sin of those that are openly godly. Well, now he turns his attention to the respectable sinner. I mean, chapter 1, you can't read that and not know exactly what he's talking about. But then he gets to chapter 2 and he's like, and I can see him, can't you? They're like, yeah, that's good preaching right there, Paul. Lay it down to him, praise God. Those that have left the natural affection of women, gone to men, hallelujah, preach on, man of God. Then he got to chapter 2 and he said, now I'm going to deal with y'all.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Whoa, now.
Right?
See, we like when they preach on sin. Preach on sin, just not mine. So Paul gets to chapter 2, he said, okay, now I'm going to skin the rest of you, right? And so here he deals with the hypocrite, or those that will judge others for the very thing they're doing. So here's what he says. I'll give you four things quickly. I know that scares you, but I'm going to go quick. Praise God. You write fast, listen fast, I'll talk fast. So number one is what the hypocrite feels. In verse 1 and 2, he said, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things.
Right.
Now that's pretty clear.
Yes, sir.
He said, you're judging, doing the same thing.
Right.
And so what we have in verse 1 and 2, but he said, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things.
Right.
So the first thing the hypocrite feels is a comparison. In other words, the hypocrite feels that other men's sins are worse than their own.
Right.
Now, brother, that's flesh. And we're all capable of it. You sit here right here and you say, oh, I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the long-suffering of God. And, oh, I'm so glad I'm not what I used to be, but look at him.
That's right.
Man, that publican and that Pharisee, I thank God I'm not as other men and even as that guy right there, right? He's a hypocrite. And we do the same thing. We get, you know, the more that I study the Word of God, the more I read and the more I pray, Brother Dennis, the more I get around things of God, the more I'm going, boy, I'm terrible. I mean, I am nasty.
Yes, sir.
And if I'm nasty, how can I look at you and say you're nastier? Amen. But see, we think because we got saved, we talk about being saved by the grace of God, but then all of a sudden there's this little bit of pride that seeps in. And we're going, yeah, God saved me, but from then on it's been all me. Right? I ain't saved by works, but since I got saved, I worked hard for Jesus. I've done all, got my checklist. I'm going down the line, praise God. Read my Bible, dress right, don't listen to rock and roll music, hadn't gone to a bar since I got saved. Look at me. But you went to a bar. Look at you. I ain't been to a movie theater and watched one of those ungodly R-rated movies since I got saved. But you watched it on Netflix. Huh? Huh? Better be careful. God's going, the hypocrite is always comparing. Well, I may not be the best. Here's the catchphrase, Brother Ken. I may not be the best Christian in the world, but at least I'm not.
Yeah, you're right.
We like to, the hypocrite wants to be in the middle of the road.
That's right.
Go to Revelation.
Yes.
Lukewarm.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Lukewarm, just right in the middle. I know I'm not the best Christian in the world, but at least I'm not like old so-and-so. They say they're saved and they ain't been to church in a month of Sundays. Yeah, you showed up, but you're grouchy and bitter and everything else. Amen. So the comparison is, I'm not what they are. And so when we look at that, it is, he compares himself to the wrong standard. See, the right standard, God judges men by his own standard. And his own standard is Jesus. Now, I'm pretty sure, I'm not, hope, Brother Danny, I'm not stepping out of bounds here. But I see no one in here, including me, Brother Jimmy, that has a nail print in their hand.
That's right.
If I'm wrong, you come present the evidence to me and I'll repent. But I'm not seeing anybody with nail prints in their hand. I'm not seeing anybody with thorn prints in their brow.
Right?
Right? So I'm fairly certain that none of us are Jesus. So when you compare yourself to me and say, well, I'm better than the preacher is, you're right probably. But you're using the wrong measuring stick. See, when you measure yourself against perfection, you will always come up wanting. And our flesh doesn't want that. My flesh doesn't want that. Listen, I'm standing the same. I'm made out of the same thing you are. It's a whole lot easier for me to look at someone else and go, well, at least I'm not, like they are. But Johnny, I see preachers mess up and go, well, listen, Lord, I may not be doing a lot of stuff, but I ain't done that. Absolutely you could. I could. If it weren't for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell. If it weren't for the grace of God, we'd all be in judgment. So before you start getting put, and that's what I'm saying, Brother Shane, as I read, I'm going,
right.
It is a miracle of God we're not all consumed. Right? So when you get like that, it's better, and what it is not to look at others and even, Brother Jimmy, really not even to put ourselves down as much as it is to exalt Christ and realize that without him, we'd all be there. So the hypocrite is the comparison, but then the condemnation. The Bible said, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou... Well, if you see yourself for who you really are, you're not judging.
Right.
Now again, I'm not talking about... Here's the problem. We think that calling out sin is judging. See what I'm saying? See, we've been so watered down with this judge not lest ye be judged that it's like preachers are scared to preach on anything. It's like, well, you're judging. No, if the Bible calls it wrong, it's still wrong. If it's sin, it's sin. We're not condoning sin. We're not telling you to go live any way you want to and that God's okay with it. What he's saying is, listen, you better be careful when you're pointing your finger at people and saying, listen, you're wrong, especially when you're doing the exact same thing. So the fact is the condemnation, it is self-condemnation because notice the Bible said, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. We're running around just, we live in such a crazy time that it's we look for things to find wrong with people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, and again, I know I say a lot about social media, but it gives another avenue.
That's right.
For you to critique people. Right? I mean, people that are always critiquing others.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, they didn't spell this right. I understand the apostrophe stuff. That drives me crazy too, and the there and all. I think if you're going to write something, you ought to have enough. You're going through enough English to do it right.
Amen.
But I just think it's interesting. People actually get on there and call people out because they didn't do that. I'm like, you missed the whole context of what said so you could find the one thing that you could find wrong. And we do that with everything, right? I mean, some of you this morning, you came here and you're like, well, I didn't agree with preachers. 99.9%, you're like, yep. But that one thing's like, yeah, he didn't say that right. Well, I'll go to your house. Right? But it's like we condemn. We're just trying to find stuff. Why? Because it makes us feel better. We never condemn people on the stuff we're doing. We find the stuff they're doing that we're not doing because it makes us feel better. Right? So it's like, and the Lord's saying, listen, you do that all you want to, but I know the truth, and I'm going to be the one that has the last word. So we were sitting there yesterday, and I'm glad that some of my wisdom is flowing out to my children. And Luke said, you know, if you got weeds in your own garden, you shouldn't go looking at other people. I'm like, he got it, right? I've only said that for like his whole life, right? But it's true. I mean, it's true. It's like you go and you go by somebody's house, you go, would you look how nasty that place is? And then somebody comes by yours and go, really? You got a 1974 Ford in your front yard, but you found paper in somebody else going, they don't even clean their yard up. But that's the way we are. That's the way we are alive. That's the way we are Christian. That's the way we are with the world. It's like, I'm going to find the one thing about Brother Jimmy that, you know, he's got a blue shirt on, and you know, and preachers are the worst. I mean, I've been places they wouldn't let you preach if you had that color shirt on because you ought to wear a white shirt. Right? I don't care if you wear a white shirt. I mean, I think you ought to wear something that doesn't look like a fruit. Right? But I'm just saying we're so focused on finding things wrong to elevate ourselves. And the Lord's saying, you keep doing that, and that's what I'm going to judge you on. Right. So it's the hypocrite feels the comparison, the condemnation, not for themselves. We cover our sins and condemn others. All the while, God is fully aware of what we're doing in secret. And then number two, what the hypocrite finds in verse 3, he says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?
Right.
Isn't it amazing that we're more concerned with what people think than what God thinks?
Right.
And I mean, it's in every area. Brother Randy, there are people that will go to hell because they're embarrassed to walk an aisle and admit they've never been saved. There will be people in hell because they're more worried about what people think than what God thinks. There are people that they'll never get right with God because they're more worried about their pride and how it's going to make them look. There are people that never apologize. And I've been there. Me and Miss Ellen, we've been married 30 years. Man, there's a time it was a principle. I was going to stand up for the principle of it. Right?
Yep.
She'd want to decorate, and I went, nope. She'd do, I like, nope. This is our house, 50-50. I'm going to have a say. I don't like it. Don't put it up. Brother Junior, at some point, I don't care. It's not worth arguing over a painting or a flower or whatever, right? I'm just like, now, there's some things I told her. I said, I'm not sleeping in no flowered comfort. That's too girly for me. But most stuff, brother, I don't care.
Right?
It's just not worth arguing about. And I've learned to say I'm sorry. She'll tell you, there's times I was going to fight till the death. And she's the same way. We were going to fight to the death. And nobody's going to, and you know, and then you're just like, who cares? Now, we don't always do that, but I'm getting better at it after 30 years. And like, it, There's too much craziness in the world to be arguing about dumb stuff. Amen. I'm the same way in church. Listen, there's too much stuff out there to fight about. Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're unwell. Keep on preaching.
Too much to fight out there than to fight in here.
You're right?
Right? So the hypocrite finds what he does. He finds things that are wrong.
Right.
And what he finds is that he isn't faultless. He will find this out, that he isn't faultless. While magnifying other sins, he excuses his own. Well, that's just who I am, right? That's my upbringing. Listen, we blame everything and everybody for our sin. Well, my mama, my daddy didn't love me enough, and, you know, I grew up hard, and fine, but you say you're saved by the grace of God. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come. We're supposed to be new creatures in Christ. We're supposed to have the Holy Ghost of God living on the inside, which should change us. Is that right? So the hypocrite is guilty of the same thing he accuses others of, but he does not recognize his own hypocrisy. Why? Because it's easier to find fault in others than ourselves, right? I've used this illustration before. I started playing golf when I was, 21, 22. I started playing because my dad played. I never played, not one time in my life. But I was a baseball player. I thought, well, I'm a pretty good athlete. Surely I can pick this game up. Man, there are houses and squirrels and birds that are injured and dead all over the world, right? But then I kind of figured some stuff out, you know, and I'm playing and playing okay, and I had this bright idea, Brother Bart. I said, well, I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to go take me some golf lessons. And I remember going to that golf professional, and what I was wanting, what I expected him to say was, you don't need any help. You don't need any help. I mean, you're got, you know, a little tweak here, and we're gonna shave 10 strokes off your game. So I hit that ball. He's videoing me, right? I hit five. I'm like, and I hit him good, too. I'm like, he said, let's go watch the video. I said, yes, sir. I mean, I was like, he said, we got a lot of work to do. And I went, what do you mean? And then he showed me the video, and I'm like, oh. Right? It don't look good. And I said, but it feels right.
Yes, sure. Yes.
And he said, what's happened is you've learned to adjust for all the things that are wrong to where you can make good contact. But if we do the fundamentals right, then you don't have to. And I'm like, all right, I got this. I still don't have it. That's your, why? Because he could see things I couldn't see in myself. It's easy to look at others and say, Johnny, this is wrong, Brother Matt, this is wrong, Brother Shane. But it's difficult to look in the mirror and say, here's the problem with you.
Yes, sir.
And here's the thing. See, we don't like people to tell us what's wrong with us. That's why we never get any better. But then on the flip side, let's be honest. Most time when somebody tells us something, or when you tell somebody, it's not the way truth in love, it's just truth, hard truth.
Right?
So iron sharpens iron, but we don't really sharpen because the way we approach it is not to sharpen the edge, it's to beat it down to where it's not effective.
Right?
So we want to be faultless, and we do that. And we know deep down, Brother Sean, we're not faultless, but if we put more fault on someone else, it makes ours look small.
That's right?
So that's what Paul's dealing with. He's saying, listen, you got to understand that what it looks like to you and what you're finding is you're not faultless, that the Lord is keeping up with all the things that you're doing. And then it shows the fruit of it in verse 3. He said, and do us the same. He said that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. He's asked the question. He said, you're gonna reap what you sow. Now, we like that when it comes to spiritual things, right? If we sow good things and sow good seed, we get good fruit. But God's saying, listen, when you sow that judgment, you're going to reap that. The same judgment that you judge others with is the same judgment God's going to judge you with. Here's the problem. Listen, I don't know all that there is know about you. You with me? I mean, my understanding of Brother Jake is what I know about him. And I've got a high opinion of him. But see, I don't know what's going on in here. And God's going in there going, man, I got a excavator that I can dig down there where nobody else knows. So when you're looking at the surface and you're saying, they're doing this and they're wrong for this, God's digging in you going, he's got a lot more dirt than you got. Amen. Now, even if I examine myself, which is what the Bible tells me to do, I don't even know my own heart. So I'm barely scratching the surface when I go to God and repent. That's why I've got to say, create in me a clean heart. And let God reveal to me the things, because I'm not even, because of my pride and because of my flesh, Brother Gary, I don't even really want to know all that's bad with me. Right? When I ask God to do it, he's going, I want to clean you up. And I'm going to find the spots that you don't even know about, right? And I'm going to get in there and we're going to do business. But see, most people don't want to do business because it's painful, isn't it? But it's necessary. And so, number three, what the hypocrite forgets. Look at verse 4. He said, or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. So here's what he's saying. Here's what we forget. Verse 4 said, the riches of his goodness and... Oh, I'm going to have to take a break on that one. Let me read it slower.
Yes, sir.
The riches of his goodness and his forbearance and his long suffering. You hang with me? You know what he's saying? That, and when you look up, when you take that in context, he's showing just how hypocritical we are, that he knows all this about me, and he's talking about the riches of his goodness and his forbearance and his long suffering, knowing how wicked my heart is, that he's willing to do that for me. Yet I look at your surface, and because you rub me the wrong way, I'm going, done with you. Lord, did you see what Brother Jimmy Money did? Can you believe he's a preacher and he did that? I'm glad I didn't do it. Right? Now, in light of that scripture, how can I look at him and do anything but forgive him and forbear him and have long suffering? If you ready? Pay attention. It's going to hurt. Saddle up. Buckle up. If you won't do that for others, you're a hypocrite. Brother Foy, a double-barrel hypocrite. You'll accept it, but you won't give it. That's hypocritical. You'll receive good things from God, but you won't give them to somebody else. You're a hypocrite.
Amen.
I'm a hypocrite. If I don't, I'm a hypocrite. So when people say, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites, you're right. We're all that way because, let's be honest, God keeps pouring it out. We're going, no, I'm withholding it from you. According to that scripture, we're all hypocrites because we won't do it. How we doing? We uneasy? I am. Listen, if you ain't, there's something bad wrong with you, because God's pulling it back, saying, all of you, bunch of hypocrites, that I'll give you all this forgiveness, goodness, and forbearance, and you won't even give it to that person that looked at you wrong. Right? Didn't call you on your birthday. Right? Didn't send you a card. Right? Come on. That person that offended you back in the third grade that you never got over, and to this day you're still mad at them. And, you know, hello? Yeah, right. See how silly we are? Yeah. It's amazing God would do anything with any of us.
Right.
See, what he forgets is his grace. His goodness, his forbearance, long-suffering are all gifts of God. God doesn't owe us that. God owes us hell. That's what he owes us. And the fact that he doesn't give it to us means that you and I should extend that grace to others. Man often thinks he deserves it. I just give me what I deserve. You might get it. I deserve. Where did we come up with that? I tell you, the flesh. I deserve to be happy. You won't find a Bible verse in there that says you deserve to be happy. I deserve a vacation. I deserve to have a good job. I deserve an education. I deserve health care. I deserve all this stuff we say we deserve. Well, that's not in your Bible. So whatever you get that's not hell, it's God's blessing. Now you start looking things that way, it'll change the way you look at life, won't it? We'll be a grateful people. So they're evidences, the goodness and the forbearance and the long suffering are the evidence of God's unmerited favor. Now, that's amazing. How many of you, before you got married, right? See, that's why it's, I don't know if it's good to get married when you're young or not, because you have this. We ain't got money, but we got love. We're going to be all right. Right? We'll be all right. And why you get married? Oh, we love each other. We're so in love. We just love. And you say, when you get married, here's some issues. I remember sitting down with our pastor. Here's some issues you're going to deal with. Like, right. Not us. I remember Brother Russell reading that scripture the Sadducees came to Jesus like, now this guy had a wife and he died, and then because of custom, it's his wife, and they all died. Now in heaven, whose wife's she going to be in? Jesus said, there'll be no marrying in heaven, right? And I remember when we first got married, I said, I don't like that. I like being married to her, and I want to be married to her forever. Forever. Right? And you got this. Then you realize you just put two sinners in close quarters, and they're both selfish at the core, and they want their way, right? And all of a sudden, all the little things that they did before you got married that was so cute now drives you crazy. Right? And you know what? You know what keeps you going? I mean, in reality, if you've been married any length of time, you have. There's an old man told me one time, he said he and his wife married 6 years. He said, we never got in one argument. And I was not near as politically, I won't say correct, I wasn't as diplomatic. I said, well, either two things. One, you're lying, or two, y'all didn't even live in the same house. There's no way you're going to have two people that never have a disagreement that live in the same house. Can't happen. Unless one of them is just so weak they just give in all the time. Right? It's going to happen. But you understand that if you're going to make that thing last, you're going to have to put up with some stuff. right? I mean, just are. You had to put up some stuff from the other person, and it's going to be long-suffering and understanding, and you realize that you do stuff that drives them crazy, and they do stuff that drives you crazy, and we're married, and we're one flesh, and we're just going to have to figure it out and work it out. Right? Right? Well, that's what God does to us to a greater degree. I mean, he ought to be upset with us every day. Every day when we get up. Yet he looks at us. It's amazing with our children. They can be the worst criminals, and somehow we look at them and go like, they're good kids. Right? I mean, they're terrors, but we're like, yeah, they're good kids. Good kids. I mean, they just they had the wrong influence in their life. They were the wrong influence. They were the one. And that's a human mother and father, right? I mean, he didn't mean to hit that teacher in the head with a book. Her head got in the way. But we serve a God that loves, and he's like, I know them. I know how they are down here. But I love them anyway. I mean, how can we be anything but amazed by the grace of God? So what the hypocrite forgets is his grace. Watch this. Now, don't answer me, but I want you to think for a minute. If I were to ask you, and I said, I want you to think of the goodness of God. If we had a testimony service tonight, said everybody would think today, think of one thing that makes you think of the goodness of God and say it tonight. And people say, well, he's met my need, and he's answered my prayer, and he's done X, Y, Z. But look what the Bible said in verse 4. It said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Here's what he's saying. God don't want you to go to hell. God does not want you to go to hell, and he leads you to repentance. He leads you to the place. We view God's goodness through sinful eyes. As long as God's pouring stuff on me, that's God's goodness. But when God convicts your heart this morning, you ought to say, that's God's goodness. When God keeps you from doing something that would mess your life up and the Holy Ghost convicts you, you ought to say, that's God's goodness. God's goodness is not let me do whatever I want to do and there's no consequences. God's goodness is don't do it. So his goodness. Then number 4, what the hypocrite faces. Verse 5 and 6, the Bible said, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. So what this verse 5 is talking about is what is stacked against us. Now notice what he's saying. He said, after the hardness and penitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day. He's saying, what you're doing, because here's what we do. Brother Eddie, sometimes we mistake the goodness and grace and long-suffering God as God's acceptance, right? Well, if it's wrong, God would do X, Y, Z. If God was not okay with what I'm doing, then he would stop it. Right? I mean, how many times do we pray? Lord, if you don't want me to do this, now, you know, you give me a sign. Nothing. Okay, God must be good with it. Oh, me and God have an understanding, see? No, because the understanding is you think that because God is not judging you right then, you're getting away with it and God's okay with it. But what this is saying is that he's long-suffering, he's forbearing. And basically what he's doing is he's stacking all those things up.
Right.
Just putting them there. You did that. You judged him. Oh, you judged him. So that when you stand before him, there's the evidence.
That's right.
God, I didn't do that. There it is. How's that sit with you? Lord, if I've sinned, forgive me. Brother Johnny, if I offended you, I'm sorry. If you took what I said wrong, It's your fault, but I want you to know I'm sorry that you took it wrong. Right? That's how we repent, Brother Foy.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I know you know everything, but you obviously don't know my heart, because I did not mean what I did the way I did to be offensive to you. It just felt good to me. Right? So what the hypocrite faces, he tells us what is stacked. He said, treasure up unto thyself wrath, the picture of storing away day by day a fresh deposit of wickedness. God said, I'm going to judge you for it. It's not forgotten. It is simply being stored until the day of wrath. And then verse 6, who will render to every man. Now we like the every and whosoever when it comes to salvation, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? All means all, hallelujah. In the Greek and the Hebrew, what does it mean, brother? All. Amen for that. But what's this verse say? Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Every.
That's right.
But here's what. Everybody but me.
Right.
The heathen. Oh, yeah. Chapter 1. But they ought to get what's coming to them.
On,
those stinking religious hypocrites and Pharisees. Hallelujah. That's right, God. Judge them. Right? But not me. I'm just a humble publican. Trying to live for Jesus. I ain't doing what Brad's doing. He thinks he's better than everybody else. I'm just a humble publican. Right, Jesus? Who loves you more than anything. I love you so much, Jesus. But I ain't ever read my Bible.
Come on.
I don't pray very much, but I love you. Never told anybody about you.
Yeah. Reach on. Come on now. Yes, sir.
But I love you. What is sure? We all stand before Jesus.
Right.
What is sure? Judgment sure. Righteous judgment is sure. And the hypocrite's going to face the judgment of God.
Right.
So let me close with this. You may make yourself feel better here. And you may make everybody else think you're the greatest Christians ever walked face the earth. But God knows your heart. And
yes,
he knows
sir.
My heart.
Yes,
sir. And if we'll let him judge us, we'll let him dig down in there and say, here's where you got to fix some things. And we'll leave everybody else alone. Right? And all of a sudden, if you'll get your eyes on Jesus. Because here's what we like to do, all of us. We like to get our eyes on other people.
That's right. Right. Yes, sir.
Easy to find fault with imperfection.
Amen.
If we get our eyes on Jesus, all of a sudden we'll see our imperfection.
That's right.
See
Amen.
His perfection.
Amen. Amen.
Then I can have compassion
yes.
for other people.
Amen.
Right? I can have compassion, Brother Matt, Brother Sean, and Brother Shane, Brother right. John, and be like, you know what, God? They're not perfect, neither am I. But I face some of the same temptations and trials
yes.
they do.
Yes. Amen.
And Lord, please help them and help me. That,
Amen.
Right? You want to learn how to pray for somebody.
That's right.
You put yourself in their shoes.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's what
Amen.
Jesus did.
Amen.
Right? He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Well, that's the only person who can say that. That's why he's a perfect advocate. He can go to the Lord and say, oh, I saw Brother Kenneth. Devil saying, you know what Brother Kenneth did? He said, yeah, I've been there, Father.
Yes.
I've been there.
That's right.
That's hard. And oh, by the way, he's my child. That's a pretty good position to be in when you got the son advocating
yes.
for you.
Glory
so if you really want to be like Christ, you'll advocate for others.
Right.
Here's what I'll say about Jesus. Jesus could have condemned the world, couldn't he?
Yeah.
He could have walked, all of you. The Bible says, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Yes. He came in the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Right. He came to minister, not to be ministered to. Right?
Amen.
He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He could have condemned every single person when he came to earth. So they're not worthy of me. Yet, he looked over them and wept. Now, if he did that, what gives me the right to look at anybody and condemn them? And again, I'm not talking about condoning sin. But I just find it interesting how quickly we are to condemn others.
Right.
Instead of letting God look at me and say, I need to repent. Right?
Right.
I need to repent. I need to get right with God. I've got to worry about me. I can pray for you. But the only person I can ever get right with God is me. Ladies, can I help you with something? Your husband didn't live for God? Beating him to death with your Bible ain't going to get him living for God. Fellas, if your wife isn't living for God, probably beating him in the head with your Bible ain't going to get him living for God. If your kids aren't, same thing. But you advocating for, the Holy Spirit can do a lot better job of convicting hearts than you and I can. So I just say this, maybe instead of always talking about what people aren't doing right, we ought to have a little more compassion because that's what the Lord did for us.
Right.
Not willing that any should perish, but all. That's me. Judgment.
Yes.
Of the hypocrite. If we're not careful, we can all be hypocrites.
Right.
Let's stand together. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. No one's looking around. The altar's open. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you come. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Him as your Savior, let me invite you to come this morning. Greatest decision you'll ever make is Jesus Christ. If you don't know how to be saved, we'd love to show you from the Bible. Maybe this morning God spoke to your heart about another matter, someone you need to pray for, advocate for. You come. Play through one more time. You come if you need to. Just mind the Lord. Father, I love you. Thank you for the message, and thank you for dealing with our hearts today. Thank you for your long-suffering, forbearance, and grace, and may we learn to extend that to one another. If there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior before they leave here, God, give them the courage to ask somebody to show them. And for all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.